It's been a crazy week on the golf side of things. First off, on the national picture, there is playoffs that are now underway, and the Chicago area gearing up to watch, I guess, because you're going to have to watch it on TV. Unfortunately, nobody in Chicago is going to get out to Olympia Fields next week to see the pros play in person, other than maybe a couple of homeowners that live by a couple of the holes late in the round, unless, of course, they flip the nines for the tournament. But anyway, we're gearing up for the Illinois PGA Section Championship next week as well. And Lenny, on a sad note, I know that, well, you know him a lot better than I did. The world of golf really lost a friend today, didn't they?
Yeah, Martin Cupelli, and he was the golf writer for the Detroit News for, well, I think about, he worked for the paper for 37 years. He was a real good friend of mine. We had very parallel jobs. He was a hockey writer on the Red Wings beat, and I was the hockey writer on the Blackhawks beat for pretty long runs there. We were both golf writers for our papers, and he had some heart trouble. I remember playing golf with him and his daughter and Joy. We played a foursome at French Lick on the Donald Ross course in 2017, and that's the last time I saw him, but we had a great time there. And partner and I go back a long way. It's kind of tough when you lose a good friend like that, so it's kind of put a damper on today a little bit. It was I knew that Barton hadn't been in good health, but I didn't realize that he would pass this soon. He was 73 years old, and all of us in the golf media world will miss him. He was a good guy.
Well, and this afternoon, a small foursome of yours truly, along with writer Tim Cronin, Medina and Illinois PGA photographer Nick Novelli, and Kevin Quinn, the communications director for the Illinois PGA. We went out and got a round of golf in on Medina 1, which will host the Illinois PGA Section Championship Major starting on Monday. Took a look at the golf course, and the greens look in great shape, but things did look a little dry out there. I'm not sure if it's just been from the heat or they're not watering in advance of the tournament. What we did not see was we did not see a deep rough that we saw at the Illinois Open. Of course, the front nine on that course plays a lot tougher than the back nine. From what I saw out there today, I think the tournament's going to get real interesting, because players that maybe haven't had anything going all day are going to make the turn, and then all of a sudden there's a chance, I think, to make some birdies.
Well, you know, I tell you, there should be a very strong odds-on favorite in Travis Johns in this tournament. Not only is he the defending champion, he's been a long-time teaching pro at Medina. He certainly should know that course inside out. He's been the player of the year in the Illinois section four times in the last 8 years. But Mike Small is always there, looming. He's won the tournament 12 times. I remember the year that Frank Honadel ended Mike's streak of victories, and it came at Medina number one. There'll be good drama in that tournament. There always seems to be. I think that Garrett Chassard would be a strong contender, and of course Steve Orrick from downstate has been strong, always contending. So there'll be a lot of possibilities. I know Medina and staff itself is filled up the entry sheet. I think 10 players, including Rich Ducalo, who is a pretty consistent player as well. It'll be a good 3 days, and then, as you say, right after that comes the BMW Championship at Olympia Field. So it is in what's been a tough year for golf in the Chicago area, and it's going to be a big 2 weeks, probably the biggest 2 weeks of the year coming up in tournaments.
Illinois PGA has put out the first round pairings, we're looking at the field of 126 players, of course, with, as you mentioned, about 10 staffers from Medina. But a little shorter field this year. I think in the past, it may not have always been 150 or 156, but it was usually around at least 140 plus. So a little shorter field this year. Of course, a lot of courses are really busy, and that's something else that we noticed today at Medina, 1:30 this afternoon. The driving range was almost full. There was people waiting to tee off on courses 1, 2, and 3. So we had groups in front of us all the way on course number 1. There was 2 or 3 groups behind us, and we didn't tee off till 2:35. So all the courses at Medina, very crowded, and I know they have a lot of members, but it showed. Not just that there's a large membership, but people there are playing golf.
Yeah, well, you know, we're on the road on this 2 week. It's going to be at least three weeks more of traveling to various golf destinations for our golf travel work. And we're in Michigan right now and played Bay Harbor today, and it was crowded. I mean, people are playing golf everywhere. We've seen this throughout our trip here, that there's been lots of play. It's something, it makes you feel good about being involved in golf, especially because it is one thing people are really taking to as an activity in these pandemic times. So I'm not surprised. I am surprised the field at the Illinois PGA seems to be a little down, but the play from public golf and, you know, recreational golf, non-tournament play, it's been great all season since about May. They started playing here at Michigan about 2 weeks late here at the Boyne Resorts, which are a hotbed for always in the Michigan area. But that's all they missed, and there wasn't much sign of pandemic restrictions here. Although they're other on the golf course, you know, people were all have their masks on, and they still have the donuts in the holes when you're putting. But golf is sailing for the participants. It's a good, healthy thing.
Well, and that was a couple of things you just mentioned. It was nice to see at Medina today. There's no foam in the cups. There's bunker rakes in the bunkers. The only place you really have to wear a mask is if you go in the clubhouse. And they've got some additional things set up outside, including a big screen, kind of like an area outside with picnic tables behind the clubhouse. And there's a big video screen up there that's sitting up about 10 feet in the air. And a lot of people watching baseball, the White Sox game today, the NBA games later this afternoon after the White Sox were done. And it had quite a crowd of people. There had to be 40, 50 members out there just enjoying watching the big screen outside on a nice day, probably before dinner, after lunch. Maybe they played golf this morning. But all in all, pretty nice setup by Medina. And members were certainly taking full advantage of it. And Len, another great place to sit outside and watch some golf and relax a little bit is over at Forest Dunes. I know you were there. And tell us about that brand new 10-hole par 3 course.
It's kind of a cross between the Cradle at Pinehurst and the Mountaintop at in Branson. It's a very hilly thing. It creates all kinds of shots that you can play, and the greens are fast. It's pretty good shape. It's not as good as it's going to be. They opened it for play on August 1st. Played it twice while we were there. They're charging, I think, $39 to play it. Kids playing with an adult are allowed out there free. I think it's a tougher test than the Cradle at Pinehurst. It's not as hard as Mountaintop at Branson. So I think people who get out to Forest Dunes, and I tell you that they've done a lot of things at Forest Dunes. They have an 18-hole putting course that was, I had never been on it before. This was the first time I'd been there since 2016 when they opened the loop, their course that you can play in both directions and that is much in better shape. So they've had more lodging there. It's a Roscommon, Michigan is just a small town. But boy, I hardly recommend anybody going there for a good golf getaway. It's getting better and better, and it was never really bad before. Tom Weiss golf course there. It's becoming a great place. I've always enjoyed going there anyway, but they're offering more and more as time goes on.
Glenn, when it comes to golf travel, you know, one of the states kind of in the Midwest that we don't really look at very much as a travel destination because there really isn't a high-powered resort there. Like we have the French Lick Resort in Indiana. We have Boyne Golf and some other resorts, Forest Dune, Arcadia Bluffs in Michigan. In Wisconsin, you know, there's Kohler and Aaron Hills. And you go down to Missouri, you got Big Cedar. In Minnesota, you got Giants Ridge. And there's all sorts of destination properties in Sand Valley, of course, in Wisconsin, and, you know, many, many more. But one of the things that popped up on the radar right after we recorded our podcast last week is that there's going to be some available packages at a private club in Ohio. Firestone, the historic Firestone mm-hmm. Country Club, mm-hmm. just hosted the Senior Players Championship last weekend, won by Jerry Kelly. He made a hole-in-one in the final round that powered him to a two-shot victory. But there's going to be these stay-and-play packages, public golf packages starting at just under $600, but they have villas. They have three golf courses. Of course, the South Course is the most famous and just hosted the tournament and has hosted a lot of other tournaments there over the years. You look at the players who have won there. They include Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Tiger Woods, and, you know, a list of guys that, you know, pretty much everybody would know. And it's interesting to see that they're doing this. And I don't know why they're doing it, but, you know, who knows? Maybe it's a way to bring in some money in the fall. But it makes you think, would it be a smart idea for some of these private clubs, if they haven't had a good year or they need some extra money for a renovation, to create some fall stay-and-play packages, maybe on weekdays, early in the week, whatever. But it's interesting to see a high-priority private club like Firestone offer public play.
Yeah, you know, that was really a major development. I covered an event at Firestone when it was still a site on the PGA Tour. It was, they had a long run as a PGA Tour event there. And then they moved it into the Champions Tour, so they kept a profile there. I think that Firestone having done this is going to trigger other private clubs who have got a tournament history to do the same thing, because, you know, these are tough economic times. They affect the ultimate private clubs. There's no reason they shouldn't try to bring in a few extra dollars. There's nothing wrong with that. They maybe have been had the air of being ultra private and very hard to get on in the past. But this is an opportunity for that phase of the golf world to change. And I think Firestone kind of maybe popped the bubble, and we're going to see some other clubs doing the same thing.
Well, Len, where I first noticed this was at the Ryder Cup. When the Ryder Cup comes to town, it's usually late September. Sometimes it wraps up around October 1st. And it's amazing the amount of people that come to the Ryder Cup. And there's private groups, there's corporate groups, and there's international players that come over. And they want to play good golf courses. You know, just like an American golfer going over to Scotland and Ireland, where do you want to play? Well, you want to play the main resorts. You want to play the courses you see used for the British Open Championship, maybe Ryder Cups over there, other top clubs. But I was told here by several pros at local private clubs that they were getting calls from overseas, and they want to know if they could play. So the board of directors at a few clubs made some decisions, and for about a 10-day stretch around Ryder Cup week, these courses were packed, and clubs made their money, hit their budgets by, you know, jacking up the prices and letting in some corporate groups and letting in groups, you know, coming over from overseas and paying a much higher rate than, you know, we would normally pay or local guests would pay at these clubs. And some of the clubs around here did very well.
Well, you know, I've always felt, I think we're moving in a new direction there, and it's been going on for quite a while. I think just because of the way the economy is going, there really isn't, you know, the term semi-private. I never could accept that. A club is either private or it's not private. And you know, a lot more and more clubs, they'll bill themselves as private, but you can get on there if you have a pro, call a pro, or you know, there'll be ways it can be done. There's very, very, very few clubs that are private clubs that you can't really play if there's something you really want to do. And I think it's good. Golf is not an exclusionary sport. I think it's great. I like the direction it's going, and I really was taken aback and surprised by the announcement by Firestone. But as I said before, I think it's going to have a far-reaching effect, and we're going to see some other clubs doing the same thing, and before this year's out even.
Glenn, there was supposed to be a President's Cup next year in 2021. Of course, the Ryder Cup being pushed back a year. The President's Cup schedule has been pushed back a year as well. There already is a site that was hosting the President's Cup here in America for 2021. They're going to host in 2022, and being that this event is played every other year, Royal Montreal last week was named the site, the international site for 2024, which raises the question, where does the President's Cup go in 2026? And word has been circulating that apparently the PGA Tour that helps operate the President's Cup may have been out to look at Medina as many as three or four times already in regards to a President's Cup. Now, they do not have it at this point, but it appears that they are receiving a lot of interest from the powers that be that run the President's Cup about Medina being a future President's Cup site, potentially for the 2026 President's Cup.
Well, you know, that it fit. Medina has gotten working very well for quite a while now with the PGA. They've had three U.S. Opens there, but I think they're more looked on as a for PGA Tour of PGA of America events now. And you know, they wouldn't want a tour event. They don't want to have their course. The members there don't want their course tied up for a tour, for an annual tour event. But they want big events. They've always had voiced an interest in that, and they had last year's BMW Championship. So you know, you take another 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 8 years, they'll be really enthusiastic about wanting to have a big event like the President's Cup. And I think that'd be a real good fit for Medina. That event, the only thing about that event, I wish it'd get to be more competitive than it's been. The American team has just completely dominated the thing. So it'd be good if the other guys won a time or two, and it'd be get it to be a little more competitive, like the Ryder Cup has been. But Medina, that'd be a great site. There are others around the country, but Medina, the timing seems like it could be right for Medina at that time.
Well, I'm looking at a couple of other things related with the tour. First off, a little surprising news. Brooks Koepka seems to be done for the playoffs. The question now is, will he be able to jump into the U.S. Open? He has an injured knee and hip, apparently. Of course, he's won the Open two of the last 3 years. Gary Woodland winning last year at Pebble Beach, breaking Koepka's streak. And, of course, Koepka was right there. He took second place. And also this year, with a new format, the three format tournaments for the playoffs instead of four. And it doesn't seem like they've moved the cut line around at all. But Boston was supposed to be out, but this week Boston is back in. So what it appears the PGA Tour might be doing, and I know the U.S. Open was pushed back, but I think in times when there's other events in New York City, U.S. Opens, PGAs, the Ryder Cup will be there in 25 because it was supposed to be there in 24. It'll be there in 25 at Bethpage Black. And perhaps I think what the PGA Tour is going to do is they are going to move that first stop in the FedEx Cup playoffs back to Boston periodically now and then when there's a major championship or a Ryder Cup in the New York City area the same year.
Yeah, I think it makes some sense to do that. I mean, here in Chicago, where I was certainly never very enthusiastic about the BMW bouncing between Chicago and another site every other year, I'd rather have it as an annual a Chicago event. But it's been successful playing it as an alternate thing between Chicago and Crooked Stick, for instance, other places around the country. So I wonder. I guess East Lake is kind of entrenched as the site of the Tour Championship, which. Nothing wrong with that. There's an awful lot of good venues where they could play big events like that. And the trend seems to be to move those tournaments around, not have a fixed site other than East Lake. So I wonder how long that'll go on. But, this is an unusual year for the BMW in that the Chicago area is getting it on back-to-back years again. So I don't think that's going to last very long. I know that it's going away again after next year, but going away again next year, it'll have been out of the area. But it's just the way golf is. Moving it around, there's plenty of courses that want the tournament, so it's healthy to have the tour move around like that.
We're about out of time for the week. An interesting note, though, I saw yesterday on the equipment side, people just settling in with Callaway Maverick clubs, including yours truly, and Big Bertha B21s are going to be coming out at the end of the month. It sounds like the biggest club edition coming out here in this crazy summer times. Next week, we'll have to talk a little bit more about Callaway's new addition to top-of-the-line golf equipment.
Yeah, I'd like to give those a try. That sounds like that'd be really worth it. I mean, you can go brain dead to checking out everything, but that's one that really merits a lot of the look from a lot of people.
Talk to you next week.